All right, ready to dive into another fascinating legal precedent. Today, we're looking at United States v. Ruiz. This case really gets you thinking about the whole world of plea bargaining. And, you know, that's how something like over 90% of criminal cases actually end, right?
It is. And United States v. Ruiz really highlights this tension, you know, between efficiency and transparency in the criminal justice system. How do we make things work practically, but also make sure everything's fair?
Okay, so set the scene for us. Who's Ruiz and what got her into this legal mess?
So picture this.
Yeah.
You're Angela Ruiz and you've been caught with, well, a pretty substantial amount of marijuana. We're talking 30 kilograms here. Obviously, you're facing some serious drug charges. The prosecution comes to you with an offer, a fast-track plea bargain. It sounds pretty tempting. Reduced sentence, less time behind bars. Kind of like an express lane out of this whole situation.
Yeah, I mean, a shorter sentence. Who wouldn't be at least a little tempted? So what's the catch? There's always a catch, right?
Right. The catch is this. To get this sweet deal, Ruiz has to waive some of her rights. We're not just talking about the right to a trial, which, you know, that's pretty standard in a plea bargain, but she also has to agree to give up her right to see certain evidence. Evidence that could potentially, you know, call into question the prosecution's witnesses. It's called impeachment evidence. Basically, anything that might make a witness seem less reliable, less believable.
Wait a minute, hold on. So they're asking her to plead guilty, but she doesn't even know if the witnesses against her are telling the truth, if they can be trusted. Is that even allowed?
It's a really tricky question, and it all comes down to this landmark case, Brady v. Maryland. Remember that one? That case basically said that prosecutors, they have to share any exculpatory evidence, meaning anything that might actually prove the defendant is innocent.
Right. Brady v. Maryland. We all studied that one in law school. But what about this impeachment evidence? Does Brady cover that too? I mean, it's not the same as proving innocence, right?
You got it. And that's where things get really interesting. See, the Ruiz case, this is where they're really trying to figure out if Brady applies to this other kind of evidence too, the kind that doesn't necessarily say innocent, but could definitely raise some doubts about the people testifying.
That seems like a pretty big distinction. So what happened? Did the court say Ruiz had the right to see that evidence before she made up her mind about the deal?
Well, the Ninth Circuit Court actually sided with Ruiz. They vacated her sentence, and their reasoning was, you know, you need access to this impeachment evidence. If you're going to make a truly informed decision about pleading guilty, you got to have all the pieces of the puzzle. But get this, the story doesn't end there.
I knew there was another twist. This is where it gets good, right?
Exactly. The Supreme Court decided to take on the case, and they actually reversed what the Ninth Circuit decided.
Wow. Okay. So the highest court in the land said it was all right for the prosecution to keep that evidence under wraps. What was their logic behind that?
All right. So the majority opinion, which was written by Justice Breyer, their main point was about the practicalities, the realities of plea bargaining.
Practical realities? What do they mean by that?
Basically, they're saying if prosecutors had to hand over every single bit of impeachment evidence before every plea deal, the system would just grind to a halt. It'd be a logistical nightmare. Think about it. Way more time, more money, and the whole process would slow down dramatically.
So is their argument basically, hey, we got to keep things moving, even if it means sacrificing a bit of transparency?
You could say that. And they also pointed out that in this specific case, Ruiz was still protected from being wrongly convicted because the agreement did require the prosecution to disclose any evidence proving her innocence, you know, the exculpatory evidence. But wait, there's more. Justice Thomas, he had a different perspective, even though he agreed with the final decision.
Oh, really? What did Justice Thomas have to say?
He wrote a concurring opinion, and his take was basically this. Brady is about making sure trials are fair. It's not about plea bargains, not at all. Doesn't matter how useful the impeachment evidence might be.
So same outcome, but different ways of getting there. It sounds like there's a lot of debate around just how much transparency is needed during this whole plea bargain process.
Okay.
So let's bring it back to the everyday person, the average Joe, who suddenly finds themselves facing charges.
Mm-hmm.
What does this mean for them? If they're sitting across the table from a prosecutor being offered a deal, what should they be thinking about?
Well, the first thing to remember is that after Ruiz, prosecutors kind of have a bit more power in these negotiations. They can dangle a really good deal without necessarily revealing all the cards, so to speak.
That sounds like it puts the defendant in a really tough spot. So what can they do? Are they just stuck?
Not necessarily, but it means they need to be extra careful. They need to really weigh the risks and benefits of taking a deal without having the whole picture. It's like they need to think critically. They need to consider the evidence that's already out there, the potential consequences, you know, if they decide to go to trial, and also the possibility that there might be holes in the prosecution's case, stuff they just don't know about because they haven't seen all the evidence.
So basically, it's a gamble either way.
Yeah.
Take the deal and maybe miss out on some info that could really help, or risk a way harsher sentence if they go to trial and lose.
Yeah, it's a tough choice, and it really highlights how the power dynamic is kind of skewed, you know, in our criminal justice system. But United States v. Ruiz, it doesn't just bring up legal issues. It really makes you think about some ethical stuff, too.
Like what kind of ethical concerns?
Well, think about it. Is it really ethical for prosecutors to be encouraging defendants to plead guilty when those defendants might have a much stronger defense than they realize? All because they don't have all the facts.
That's a good point. It makes you wonder how many people who might actually be innocent have taken plea deals just because they were too scared of what could happen if they went to trial and lost.
It's a disturbing thought, right? This whole idea of a chilling effect on defendants, it's something a lot of legal experts are worried about. And Ruiz definitely brought it to the forefront.
So you have this drive for efficiency. Plea bargains, they definitely streamline the system, no doubt, avoid all the costs and time of a trial, wrap things up quickly. But then there's the question of whether justice is really being served if the defendant isn't fully in the know when making these huge decisions.
Right. It's a classic dilemma, and there are no easy answers. I mean, think about this. Over 90% of criminal cases in the U.S. end with a plea bargain, not a trial. 90%.
Seriously? 90%? I had no idea it was that high.
It just goes to show the immense pressure on defendants to take these deals, even if there are strings attached. Imagine if every single case actually went to trial. The courts would be completely overwhelmed.
Okay. I get the practicality of it, but shouldn't the focus be on making sure everyone gets a fair shot, even if it takes a bit longer?
That's the heart of the issue. Is it more important to be fast and efficient, or is it more important to make sure defendants have every piece of information they need to really make an informed choice?
That's a tough one. Makes me wonder, you know, if I were Angela Ruiz facing those charges, that plea deal, what would I have done? What would you have done?
That's a question worth pondering, for sure. It's one thing to sit here and analyze legal stuff, but when you're the one with skin in the game, the stakes are high.
It really makes you think about the human side of all this. It's not just about abstract legal principles. It's about real people and their lives.
Absolutely. And it forces us to face some uncomfortable truths about how our justice system works, the compromises that are made, that sometimes tricky balance between efficiency and making sure individual rights are protected.
Well said. I think we've definitely given our listeners a lot to think about. But before we wrap up, I want to leave everyone with a final thought.
Yeah.
If you were in Angela Ruiz's shoes, right, knowing what we know now, how Brady kind of plays out, would you have taken that deal?
It's a real head scratcher, isn't it? We can talk about legal theory all day long, but when you're the one facing the music, that's when it gets real.
It really drives home how these cases, they're not just words on paper. They impact real people's lives, big time.
No doubt about it. And it makes us look at our justice system, you know, warts and all, the tough choices that have to be made. How do you balance doing things quickly and efficiently with protecting everyone's rights? It's tricky.
This has been an eye-opener for sure. Thanks for breaking down United States v. Ruiz for us and really getting into the nitty-gritty of plea bargains.
Happy to do it. I always love digging into these legal puzzles.
And to all our listeners out there, we hope this deep dive gave you some food for thought. Makes you think about the criminal justice system in a new light, right? And hey, if you liked what you heard today, tune in next time for another deep dive. We'll be tackling a case that really pushes the boundaries of free speech in our digital world. Until then, stay sharp, Legal Eagles.